Okay, so we're starting with Mem Beis Amud Aleph, a new sugya, which I'd probably, as long as everyone's agreeable, we'll spend some time with. There's a lot of related sugyas here. This is the sugya, I guess, that we'll generally refer to as the sugya of Chinuch for Mitzvos. Chinuch for Mitzvos. Okay? Volunteer to begin reading? Let's start with the last line of the Mishnah. The Mishnah on Mem Beis Amud Aleph, the last line of the Mishnah. Katan? Anyone? Anyone? Go ahead.
Oh, yeah, sure, I'll go.
Awesome. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Father. Katan hayodea l'noah chaya
b'lulav. Okay, katan hayodea l'naneya. What does that mean?
Katan who knows how to shake the lulav.
Good. Good.
Pshita. Should we skip this part?
Yes. So picking up now with the Gemara, a few lines in, Tanur Rabbanan.
Tanur Rabbanan, Katan Hayadeo Naneo.
Then.
Chayabu.
Stop. Let's just stop there. What's the Gemara saying, and what, if anything, is noteworthy about it?
I'm sorry, what? What'd you say?
Katan, I'm asking, what is the Gemara saying, and what's unique about it? What's noteworthy about it?
That he's a double
lesson. I think he doesn't even have to know what the mitzvah is, he just knows how to do the mitzvah.
Is that what he has to know?
Apparently, he just needs to know how to shake the lulav.
Shake the lulav.
What is the Mishnah? Someone, you know, that's the Mishnah. Is that the same Mishnah?
Katan, the Mishnah says, Katan. So the Gemara quotes Tarabon and Katan Yodeo Nanaya Chai Bulov.
Okay.
Now it's listing. I mean, why does this repeat the same Moshe?
No, I'm saying, you're saying, is there something unique about it? So wouldn't it be said that in Mishnah?
Oh, okay, so fine, right. What's unique about the Mishnah?
Oh, okay. I thought maybe missing something.
No, you haven't seen it. Is there something unique about the Gemara's formulation here? Think carefully. I mean, you're taking something for granted. Okay, that's good. I mean, obviously, we're going to have to deal with that general question. On what basis can a katan be chayav mitzvos? We generally assume that a katan is among those individuals that are potter from mitzvos.
I don't think, when we say chayav, I don't think he's literally chayav.
Okay.
It's the father is now chayav.
Okay. Is that what the Mishnah says? Let's say, does the Mishnah say that? Does the Gemara say that? Let's slow. Does the Gemara say that?
Rashi
says that. Okay. So you want to say that's certainly a possibility. Maybe not everyone's going to agree with that formulation. Maybe another possibility would be that the kid's really chayiv on some level. But before that, I'm saying specifically, maybe not before that, but specifically with regard to the lulav case. Think about what we've said previously about lulav.
Well, technically, a katan who knows how to pick
forget
it up.
Forget about a katan. Forget about it. Yeah?
Right. Katan yeah. Who knows how to pick it up should be chayav.
Okay, good.
Shake.
Good. Let's state the question a little bit differently. If you want to tell me that the kid is chayav when he knows how to do the mitzvah, when he's able to do the mitzvah, then the Gemara's lashon should be different over here. What should the Gemara say? The Gemara should say, once a child is able to lift the lulav, he's chayav to do it. Why? Why should it say that?
Because I submit it.
Yeah, we had that previously, right? Where do we see that? For example, I mean, we've seen it a few places, but where have we seen it most recently? If you will, just turn back to Lamed Tes for a moment. Lamed Tes Amud Aleph. Okay, you remember Tosos over there? Dealing with the question of how to make the bracha over Lasiyasam.
Right.
What was the problem? What was the basic problem over here? Right away, Mitam Zet Sarach Levarach Aluv Kodem Sheyit Lanu, Bi Lachashe Not Lo Mida Agbe, Nafakbe. Now it's true, Tosos over there was studying the Gemara Vayter, which we're now looking at, but we saw it previously. So Yonah is saying very well. The Gemara stands for the proposition that what? It's picking up the lulav is what's necessary to be yotze. That's the Maisa Mitzvah, if you will. So now you're telling me, when is it that the child is mechuyav in the mitzvah? Whatever that means. When? When he's able to shake. When? What should the Gemara say? Oh, when you can pick it up, then the child is chayav. So what do you see from here?
Right, well, before I answer that.
Do you answer this?
Well, there's obviously a difference.
Listen, look at the other cases. For example, look at tzitzis. When you chayav in tzitzis? When you chayav in tzitzis? That's okay. When you chayav in tzitzis?
Point when he knows how to.
When he could get himself dressed, when he could put on his own cloak, then he's chayav in tzitzis. You can tell me that sets in only at a point later than when he could pick something up.
No, I mean obviously.
So he picks something up. Well, that's true. It's younger, but it's not enough das. We need something more. So we'll pick an older age. So why don't you just give me an older age? Why don't you just pick a blanket age, say whatever it is, say 4 years old, say 5 years old, say whatever the age is, and tell me. At that age, we assume the child has a certain level of maturity, or a certain level of mental capacity. That's when he's chayev. But obviously, each one of these things is tied to the very mitzvah itself. Tzitzis, lasatev. Lulav, we expect to be seeing what? Picking up.
It seems like it's a relational thing, though.
Yeah, what do you mean? Well, it's true, but what I'm asking is like this. How would you sum up the Gemara over here? When is a child chayev? We're using that term advisedly for now, right? When is a child chayev in mitzvahs? What's the answer?
When they're able to do something.
So when they're able to do something?
When they're able to do the mitzvah.
When they're able to do the mitzvah, yeah. Right?
Yeah.
It's not a blanket rule. It's not a hard and fast rule. We don't say, when a kid's old enough to do mitzvahs, when he could walk. When he's old enough to talk. No, each mitzvah seems to be a sliding scale. When he's old enough to do this mitzvah, the action that's necessary for this mitzvah, that's when he has to do it.
Sure.
When he's old enough to put a talis on, he's have to put on a talis. Now, it doesn't matter, maybe this is what you were saying, it doesn't matter if you can physically put the talis on or not because of some specific limitation that he has, but once he's old enough to do that, when he has the capacity and ability to do it, that's when he'll be chayav. Same thing. When he's old enough to do the mitzvah of lulav, that's when he's chayav lulav. When he's old enough to shecht, for example, hayodeh lishchot, when he knows how to shecht, when is that? Well, it depends. Maybe when he's been trained and he knows how to shecht, slaughter. Okay. He knows how to do it, then you can eat a shkita. It's a kosher shkita.
Oh, so you can eat his shkita.
That's what the Gemara says.
Yeah, okay.
As opposed to what? Not chayiv. You can never tell me it's chayiv. Right, that would be a good kasha. You can't say shochten because it's a different kind of mitzvah. I'll be making a good point. Why does the Gemara deviate in its formulation with regard to shkita? The answer is very simple. Because unlike these other mitzvahs, which are mitzvahs
for himself,
mitzvos, what we call mitzvah chiyuvios. What's a mitzvah chiyuvis? You must wear a tefillin. You must take a lulav. You must do that. That's not negotiable. Mitzvah of shchita is what we call mitzvah chiyumis. You want to have a hamburger today? No, there's only one way to get that hamburger. You have to shech. That's called if you want to do X, then you must do Y. As opposed to you must do X. Different kind of mitzvah. So that's why they get more performance in that way. If you want to eat from his meat, that's okay if he shechs it. So how come now when it comes to lulav, instead of simply looking at the maisa mitzvah, we're being told something else about the nanuim? So what do you have to say just on a basic level? That the nanuim are what?
Integrally tied to the mitzvah, or that there's some difference in this particular formulation.
Right, either lulav is entirely different.
Yep.
That's hard to say. I mean, that would be, we'd have to come up with a good reason why lulav should be drastically different than any other mitzvah.
Yeah.
Or the simpler approach would be to say that somehow the nanuim are very much a part of the mitzvah, even though
you're yotzei the mitzvah.
That's right. Even though they're not ma'akev, they're still very much a part of the mitzvah. Have we seen that previously?
Ma'akev means again.
Or retards, holds back.
Yeah.
We saw this previously in Tosas, on Lamed Tes, in discussing the Bracha of Elas Yasson. That was one of the things that Tosas mentions. That the Nanuim are still part of the of the overall performance. Even though you go to maybe the basic mitzvah, the ikar mitzvah, the nanum are still part of the mitzvah. So what are we being told here? That for the purpose of chinuch, it's not enough to know how to do the mitzvah on its lowest level. Your kid has to be able to do the mitzvah fully. Listen to the this lashon of the Griz. Well, what's attributed to the Griz?
He's saying if he goes by lulav, when he picks it up.
So in the Chiddushei HaGriz on Maseches Arachin, which everyone else refers to as Erchin, right? In most of the yeshiva world, you're going to hear people say Erchin, Maseches Erchin. Probably more correct to say Arachin, but that's not the way. I don't know, maybe in Eretz Yisrael, maybe the Mizrahi yeshivas, maybe they pronounce it Arachin. But there's a lot of things like that.
What does Arachin mean?
So, on Daf Bezam and Bezam, Maseches Arachin, the Gemara there deals with the issue of katan as well. So in the second piece here, the Griz is quoted as having said the following. Hinei b'hod the katan hayodel ananeya. With regard to the katan, who we say needs to know how to do the nanuim, hinei im ninua hu din b'mitzah netilas lulav, hevi echad raya lefnei hagrach. With regard to whether or not the nanuim were really part of the mitzvah, someone once brought a raya to Reb Chaim. Mehod the ikad din shiur, b'lulav gimel tfachim, Kedela Naneya. I think it's also you need Gimel Tvachim and Kedela Naneya. V'afta ninua eina ma'akev mikol makom le'inyin chinuch hashir hu shetzarech sheichazi b'kiyam ha'mitzvah b'chol dinaha. Let me explain. It's true, nanua are not ma'akev the mitzvah. I could do the mitzvah without the nanuim. Right? It's not Makim Mitzvah. But apparently, what you see from there is that you're not Chayiv Midin Chinuch, whoever is Chayiv, the father or the child, that's a more general question. Whatever that is, you're not Chayiv in that Mitzvah, in the realm of Chinuch, until you could do the Mitzvah B'chol Dineha.
In its entirety?
With all of its pertinent rules.
And who is this again?
This is the Brisker Up. This is the Griz.
Right. And he's.
But he's mentioning here, just sort of agav, that there were those who wanted to say that you see that nanuim are integrally related to the mitzvah itself by virtue of the fact that the shear of the lulav includes the idea of the nanuim. You need the shear to hold it and also to do nanuim. And he writes, after nanua ina ma'akev mikol makom le'inyin chinuch. This is important. This is a yisod. This is a yisod in the halachas of chinuch. That what comes out of this gemara is that you're not chayiv in chinuch until the point that you can do what?
Right, but what about the Shkita case?
Oh, 1 second. Ubashita Mikubatis Khan, Havi Shetzarh Shihe Chazi Lananuim, Shalmolechumevi, Shemi Darbon. You have to be able to put it forward and backward. Hainu Kanal, the Ba'in She Chazi Lakima Mitzvah, Im Kol Dineha Uprataha. Then there's a parenthetical note here to see the Merome Sada. The Merome Sada. Do we have Meromei Sada here? Netziv, do we have the Meromei Sada in the back? We have it here in the basement or someplace? Okay, so maybe next week we'll take a look at that. But in the meantime, this is important. Where is this from? Let's turn back to Chavtas for a second. Chavtas? Chavtas Amen Beis? Chavtas Amen Beis. Tash, you have a Meiri over there? Meiri on Sada? If you don't mind. Yeah, please. I thought you might have one now.
So you just said that. In order to be chayiv, you have to be able to do it perfectly.
Not perfectly, but with all of the attending dinim.
Okay, fine. So
that's what you see from here.
But in the case of the Shkita, Rashi says it's good even if he isn't a baki.
Bucky's different. Bucky doesn't necessarily mean you have to be an expert, just means you have to know how to do it. You have to know how to do everything.
But he's not a Bucky, he doesn't know how to do every aspect of it.
No, he could know how to do it basically. He could know how to do whatever has to be done basically. Shkita's a little different also. I mean, just because he doesn't know how to do what? Check the lungs after?
Right, and that's part of
it. Or doesn't mean that he's, that means that he's a Bucky could mean that he doesn't do it perfectly every time. He's not an expert at it. He knows how to do everything that needs to be done. He knows how to do everything. He's just not an expert at it. Over here, thank you very much. We're not saying that the cotton has to be an expert menanea. He has to be able to do it. Let's say sometimes he drops it instead of being able to shake it front and back. You say, oh, he's not chayiv yet. Yodea. Yodea means he knows about it. Bucky implies a certain level of proficiency. You see the difference? Yodea means you're familiar with what has to be done. Right? And maybe you're able to do it on some very basic level. Bucky implies that you're an expert at doing everything that needs to be done. I think you could distinguish those two things. But maybe we'll speak more about that when we get to the Shechita case. Look at the Mishnah on Lamed Tet, on Chav Tes Amud Beis just for a moment. If you don't mind, Lamed Tes Amud Beis. Thank you so much. I'm sorry, Chav Tes Amud Beis. The first Mishnah. Lulav HaGazol VeHayavesh. Someone want to read it?
Lulav HaGazol VeHayavesh Pasuk. So Ashira Shafir.
Shall what?
Asherah.
What's an Asherah?
Astral
certain
tree.
What type of tree?
Astral tree.
Astral tree. Is that the way they translate it?
Astral tree. Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
It's some type of tree that they would worship. It's unclear exactly what kind of tree it was, but is this?
No, it just sounds. It's an awesome word.
It's an awesome word.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I'm saying I don't know if it's a specific type of, species. I'm not sure.
It's just,
yeah, that's the way we generally see it. It's a tree that they would plant and worship for the purpose of the Avodah Zarah. Like Rashi says, Elon Sheovdin also Avodah Zarah. But I don't know if it was a specific type of tree that they would single out, an oak tree, palm tree. I don't know if they were mocked, but on a specific min. It's irrelevant for our purposes. Vishal Irani Dachas. Right, those things you cannot use for lulav. Why? Because they need to be destroyed. Yavish is not a lulav. Guzzle has a problem as a psal, has a inherent deficiency.
Stolen.
Yeah. The tree of an Asherah also requires destruction, so the Zara, and so too the Unidachas. Nektam Rosho, the top is lopped off. Nifritsu Olav, the branches sort of spread out too much. Pasul, Nifridu Olav, Kashif, they just became separated but not totally opened up, that's Kashif. Keep going. I mean, we really need the last line of the Mishnah, but yeah, Agdenu Milamala. No. Yeah. Well, one second. Yeah, Agdenu Milamala. He says if that happens, if Nifridu Olav, then bind it up. Sini Harabarzel. The Gemara explains what that is. Sine de Kalim. It's the certain palm fronds. They're kosher. That's all very nice in terms of what's kosher lulav, what's not a kosher lulav. Now, for our purpose, what do we want to know? Lulav sheyesh bo shlosha tefachim.
What was the shlosha tefachim?
The shear.
Kedeh bo kosher.
That's kosher. She needs shear shlosha tefachim. Kedelananeabo. You see, built into the shear of the very chafza of the mitzvah is this idea of the nanuim. It has to be susceptible to the nanuim. Look at Rashi.
It needs 10 tefachim?
No, not 10 tefachim. 10 tefachim is the size of mechitza.
Oh.
10 tefachim is quite large.
It's 5 tefachim.
Well, here, 3. The Mishnah says 3.
Oh, okay.
Those are all nice numbers, but the Mishnah just says you need 3. Right?
Yeah.
5 tefachim is all.
Can you get me the little kids' book?
Numbers. Where's your chart? Where's your?
Yeah, no, we were talking about.
No, but where's your chart?
The numbers.
The shear chart. Go ahead, Rashi.
Rashi.
Kedela Naneabo. The first big Gemara. What's Pshat Shlosha Tefachim?
Tehei.
Shetehei. I'm sorry. You're right. Shlosha Tefachim. Tehei.
Tehei. Hashedra.
Hashedra.
Kineged orcho shel hadam.
Hadas.
Hadas. The tafa noter kede nanea. The inyan.
Dibainan.
Dibainan nanua. Nanua kila kaman.
Right, so I think according to some, it's really that you need a tefach to be menaneya, right? The first big gemara shalsa tefachim tehei shedra, the shedra portion of the lulav keneged orko shel hadas, the tefach yoser kedei lananeya. You need the top of the lulav to protrude at least the tefach, so you could be mekayim the nanuim with that tefach. I think some actually want to understand that the Mishnah means Shosha Tfachim plus one to be Menanea. Right? It's three for the Shear and one for the Nanuim. That's the Gemara Viter on Big Fire? I'm sorry? Oh, a separate discussion is ensuing.
That's right.
Sorry about that. So the second line of the Gemara. Ko lulav sheishpo Shosha Tfachim kedela nanea bo kasher. Look at Rashi. Kedela nanea bo. Alma.
Wait, second line of what? In the Gemara.
No, the Gemara itself.
Alma. Isn't the point? Mitzvah lananeya, kedela kamon, la'atza ruchos rolls, vitalololim roim. Alright, that's not our issue why you do the nanuim, but Rashi uses the lashon over here that what? That it's a mitzvah. It's a mitzvah. It doesn't have to be the mitzvah of taking the lulav necessarily, but it seems to be a mitzvah. And that's why we find that the shear of nanuim or ninua, the ability to be minanea with the lulav, is actually built into the shear of the lulav. The lulav itself has to be susceptible to the nanuim. All right. Now listen to the Meiri over here. The Meiri makes a very interesting observation. Why does the lulav have to be susceptible to nanuim if you're yotzei as soon as you pick it up? Nanuim are not ma'akev. What did you say?
Sorry, can you say that again?
It's a Shas principle. If I swallow matzah, am I yotze?
Yes. Yes.
If I take a matzah and I cook it and I cook it up and I cook it and I boil it in water and then I chew it regularly and I eat it, am I yotze?
No.
Why not?
Because it's not in the tziruf, in the proper form.
No, let's say it didn't lose the form.
No, but it's not cooked.
It's cooked. I cooked it. I took a matzah that was baked. No, I took a matzah that was baked. I took a matzah that was baked, and then I boiled it.
You destroyed its...
It looks like matzah, though. It didn't fall apart.
But yeah, you still destroyed the way,
destroy
the manner of cooking. The
no, it looks like a matzah.
Specific manner of cooking.
It looks like
we were doing
it was baked. No, I let it dry out.
My finger shear something along these lines. Yeah.
Okay.
Right. I think.
You're saying that I removed the tzurisa denama. I'm saying you didn't remove the tzurisa denama. It looks exactly like a matzah. You let it dry out. Oh,
but it says that you must bake it.
It was baked.
But the problem is that when you do a different kind of cooking, it like it's stochek or whatever. The
you want to say that I'm redefining as something that's baked?
Yeah.
As something that's boiled now?
Yeah, correct.
Okay. I don't know if the Rishonim say that, but it could be that some say that. Some Rishonim say that I took away the tam matzah.
Oh.
Right? I think they say, ba'inan tam matzah v'leka. I removed the tam matzah. So what do you mean I removed the tam matzah? You told me I could swallow matzah and be yotze. So why can't I take the matzah and cook it and take the tam out that way? What's the difference?
The tam's still there in the first case.
In one case, where I swallow it, the matzah still tastes like matzah, just I didn't experience it. But where I boiled it, I removed the tam matzah. So what do you see about tam matzah? It's not so much a din that I have to experience a tam matzah, but elamai, it's what? It's a din lechavtza. It has to have tam matzah. So now listen to the Meiri over here. So it's a very similar thing. You okay there, Avi?
So again, some people say that the bindings are on the bottom two tefachim and then one more tefach to be shaken.
The bindings?
Around the lulav.
So the Meiri writes the following. Kavana ba b'inyan haninua v'hu she'amar heichan hayu menanim. Shalagmar ni nuah man de karshmei kolomar sheikar adavar vaday benetilahu. The ikar mitzvah is the netilu. Kamo sheamru mida agbei nafakbei. This is the Meiri on Laman Zayin Amud Beis. Veheichan matzina sheit sarach ni nuah benetilah. Who says anything about nanuim? All you need to do is pick it up. Who mentioned anything about nanuim? Atu shoal heicham enaneya. V'heshivo shehu mosav al masha amar b'mishna lulav sheish bo shlosha tfachim kedei lananeya u'peirashnu ba u'kedei lananeya u'kedei lananeya. What does that mean? Three plus kedei lananeya.
That was the original interpretation?
He says that's what it means. U'peirashnu, he says, we explain that's what it means when the Mishnah says that you need three kedei lananeya, he means three plus kedei lananeya. Umitoch kach, and once that's the case, who shoel heichan hayumananin verot zolomer melvad haninua shumananeya b'shal shebol avarichalov lotzesi dechovas netila shal osa netila ein makom lishol heichan. Shaal osa netila ein makom lishol heichan. Ela shebeizor shal shebiyom who wrote him avarich venotu mananeya. El shegabol haisa beyodam shaf pesocha hala hayumananin. Okay, that's one thing. Just give me 1 second. I skip a little bit. I'll take your question 1 second. Yeah. Va'afal pisha hau shata v'haninua ein ma'akven. Right? That waving, taking it forward and backward, is not ma'akev, the ikar mitzvah. Ro'i l'kach miha ba'ina. What does that mean?
What?
It has to be big enough to be able.
That's right. He's saying part of the definition of the chafetza is that it has to be ro'i. Even if you didn't do it, it's still necessary that it be ro'i for that. How do you refer to that? You know the shas term? Called Haroi Labila. The term that you find in Shas to describe that type of requirement is Kol Haroi Labila Ein Bila Me'akeves. Right? Kol She'ein Haroi Labila Bila Me'akeves. Let's say I tell you, and that doesn't always hold true, but let's take the matzah case for example. Matzah case is Tam is necessary. Well, what do you mean Tam is necessary? If I swallow, there's no Tam. Yeah, but Tam has to be susceptible. It has to be susceptible to being tasted. It has to be roi to be tasted. So lo yitzur that I took and I chewed it up and I ate it, I would taste it. But instead I chose to swallow it. You can't tell me there's no tam here. It has to be roi for tam matzah. But if I totally took it and I removed the tam, this thing is not roi for tam matzah anymore. It's a new chavtza. That comes from a term that is used in the context of karban mincha. You have to have the right shear such that it could be mixed together. If you don't have that ability to mix it together, the Karban Mincha, then it's not Roy. It's not Roy Lebil, and therefore it's Ma'akev. Because I could have a car that has a flat tire, and I could still call it a car. Right? Yeah. But if I have a big hunk of metal that doesn't even have axles, I'm not going to call that a car. Right? It could have windows, it could have a windshield, it could have a trunk, it could have a hood. But if it wasn't built with places for tires, for wheels, who's going to call it a car? You'll say it's a house. You'll say it's a little hut. You'll say, what, a collector? No, why? Because now it's rare, you mean. No, but I'm just saying, if it's not even the parsha of being a car. Not the parsha. So the Meiri is saying like this. You're going to tell. I'll take your question 1 second. I know you have a question. You've been very patient. I appreciate that. Going back just for a moment, he says the following. Va'omru al zeh, v'chein lulula. Even though the ikar mitzvah or the mitzvah, if you will, is the netila, the yotzei bo below shel ninua, and you will be yotzei that mitzvah without any nanuim, right? That is the mitzvah. Midag be nafak be. Mikom makom haninua shiori mitzvah. It's it pertains to the mitzvah. It attends to the mitzvah. It's an enhancement of the mitzvah. V'tzarch sheyolich v'yavi v'yale v'yori b'nitiv also b'shtei ruchos u'b'mala b'mata kiderach tenufa shtei alechem. The same way that the shtei alechem are waved. By the way, when is the shtei alechem waved? When are the shtei alechem waved?
Before being put onto the
what yontif does it have? Carbon shtei alechem.
The next one, the one we're about to enter.
The one we're about to enter, yes, Shavuos. Karban Shtei Alechem. That's the basis for the minig, by the way, of having milchus and fleshigs on Shavuos. Rama says it comes from the Shtei Alechem. Right? Because what happens when you have milchus and fleshigs?
You have to eat bread in between.
You have to have two separate breads. The bread that you use during a milchik meal cannot be used during a fleshig meal. The bread that you use during a fleshig meal cannot be used during a milchik meal.
Is this only because of the knife?
It's because you're constantly handling it. It's on the table, you're touching it. So if you cut it up and it's on the side and it's not on the table, then yeah, then you can use it, obviously. It's a metzias. It's a metzias thing.
Metzias is a separation. No, is
I'm sorry?
A metzias is a what?
Which is the reality. The reality of the situation is that the bread gets handled, the bread gets splashed on, and therefore you have to switch the bread. But that's brought down la halacha. Right. So in order to require the zecher to the shtei alechem, we have milchus and fleshigs. Right? You force the situation where you need to have two breads. You always have lechem mishnah. Yeah, but that's different. That's just the lechem mishnah to be kavan. Here you're bringing significance to each separate individual lechem. Okay, but I digress. We could talk more about that very closer to Yontif. But he says it's similar to the shtei lechem and the fact that it was waved up and down and left and right and, you know, all directions.
Are we saying that the lulav needs to have the
susceptibility to nanuim?
Right.
That's exactly what we're saying.
Okay.
The year Masha Kasavnu will be sugizu she'ino tzarech minua shedra v'olav ela hoshat alatzad just has to be moved shelafana v'chazar etu atmo zeu molucha mevi v'halal v'harab l'maylo l'matav zeu maylo morig v'hu hu haninua shenom askim the whole move the whole thing move the whole this way move the whole this way move the whole that way move the whole this way right that's the nanuim says the Meiri. According to this, that it's the whole lulav just moving, you're moving the whole structure. He says he just throws that in. How many tvachim is that? It's four tvachim, right? Three for the shlosha tvachim. Ukidel Naebo and to be Menea, one tefach. That's a total of four.
Why do you mean the?
Because that's the way they understand the Mishnah.
Wait, they're reading out the line in the Mishnah to prove that it's four?
They're reading, that's the way that they understand the Mishnah.
How, what are they saying again?
That when it says, Shlosha Tvachim, Kidel Naebo, it's Shlosha Tvachim, Ukidel Naebo.
Ah, okay, yeah.
Umefarshin Hatam, and they should ain't honey new a nicker repachos Mishir Zah. What's the reason why you need 3 plus 1? Because otherwise it's not nicker when you do the nanuim. The imdayo behoshata levad, if you'll tell me it's enough just to point it out and then point it back, you could see that even with a kolshu. Why do you have to have a shakeability, right? Why does it have to be susceptible to being shakeable? Because that's why they say that you need to actually shake the leaves and the shadra, not just to point it out, point it in, but actually to have what they call kiskus, right? You have to have the kiskus, the rattling of the leaves. That's why, by the way, some people dafka don't like a lulav that's totally closed up, right? They say that's not called nanuim.
So kiskus is rattling.
Yeah, you don't like when it's rattling.
No.
Why? It bothers you.
Bad allergies. So everything opens up.
Oh, all the stuff. I'm not talking about shaking violently. Just a little bit of that, you know, that sound, that, you know, when you hear the leaves, then, you know.
As opposed to.
Yeah, it doesn't have to be like a rattlesnake. All right. Ula daiti ein taina zuklum. He says it's not a taina. It's not a taina at all, says the Miri. She'im kein af ato tzarech loma she'haninua ma'akev. If you'll tell me that what you're saying is true, now it will turn out that the nanum are ma'akev. And that's not so. She'ya shi'ir ma'akevu. See, the shi'ir is ma'akev. You have to have four tvachim. Why? Three for the lulav and one for the kedel ananeabo. But if you tell me now that the nanuim mean that you must have kiskus because otherwise it's not a real ninua, then I'll tell you that the nanuim are ma'akev. El shetzor hashir einom el nesha lulav ikr kemosha kasav. No. Why do you need a shir? Because the lulav is the thing, the item, the object of the mitzvah. But it has to be nicker when you're taking it. It has to be prominent. It has to be taken with prominence. But when you take the lulav has to stand with such grandeur, if you will, that it has to be ro'i to be used in the nanuim. Ulahoshata hanikaras. And it has to have a hoshata, a pointing out of, you know, this type of nanuim like this, that's nicker. So you need, yeah. That's, no, that shear is ma'akev.
Wait, so the nin.
So one second, let me keep reading. That's the next thing. The afal pishah hoshata, even though they're pointing out, and the nanuim are not ma'akev, even though it's not ma'akev, ro'i lakach niha be'inam. You must have it ro'i. In other words, in the shear of the lulav, it must be there. Shekoha ro'i lebila, ein bila ma'akev espo. V'kol she'ein ro'i lebila, bila ma'akev espo. You can't bring a proof from here that you have to have kiskus, that you have to have the actual, you know, shaking or rattling when you do it. That's the nanuim. That's the nanuim. Let me recap what I think he's saying, and then we'll take questions and tainas, and we'll
try. Sure, this ties into Tina, though.
Yeah, question.
how does it tie into the Gemara, you mean?
Yeah.
Well, because the Gemara is saying here that the kid has to be able to do the nanuim before you give him the lulav. So now the question is, how much of a relationship is there between the nanuim and the lulav? So the Brisker Rav said, you see, that the mitzvah of chinuch only adheres as of the point that the child is able to do the mitzvah with all of its dinim. Then he goes on to say, well, are nanuim part of the mitzvah or not? So he says, okay, some wanted to bring a raya that there is an integral relationship between the two, even though they're not ma'akev, from the fact that nanuim are built into the very cheftza of the lulav. So we've gone a little bit far afield, but just to work our way back to that principle. But to your question and to your comment in one second, what we see from here, from this Mi'iri, is that the reason why you need the Kedei Lenanea, right? In other words, it seems to be a din in the Iker Mitzvah of the Lulav, and yet you tell me Nanuim are not essential to the Mitzvah of Lulav. Right? I can't do the Mitzvah of Lulav without a Lulav. I must have a Lulav. How big does a Lulav have to be? It has to be big enough to call it a Lulav, plus an extra Tevach for Nanuim. Well, why should that be? So the Meiri is saying, well, it has to be susceptible. You need social tefachim and a tefach kedei lananeya. Why? Even though it's not ma'akev, it has to be ro'i. It has to be ro'i for it. Why does it have to be ro'i for it? So that's what he's saying over here. It has to be ro'i for it. Why? And this means you can question. But what he's saying is, because if it's small than that, then it's not going to really be apparent that you're doing the nanuim. Right? If you have such a small lulav that, let's say it's this big, right? Let's say it's just three tefachim. So you could technically hold it, and you could sort of get away with doing it, and not really going to be so noticeable that you're, you know, picture this: you put your two hands on it, or you put one hand on it, you swallowed up most of it already, right? Let's say you have your big hand. He swallowed up most of the whole lulav already, holding the lulav and holding the esrog. Now it's not so nicker that you're doing any kind of nanuim. So you add an extra tefach to it, now it's nicker. But now you'll tell me, hey, you don't have to do nanuim. You don't really have to do nanuim. Im dayo b'shatol v'adar e'ashatol b'cholshu. Mitoch kach heimor m'shatoch m'yul b'shadron. He says, no, that's not a taina. Shem kein, you'll tell me that the nanuim are ma'akev. Shehari ashir ma'akevu. Rather, tzorach ashir ein almanei shalulav ikar. The lulav is ikar. The tzarach shetainu tilasim mefursamis. Among all of the species, the lulav has to stand most prominent, and it has to be mefursam when you take it. Achei roi lenanua ulo hoshata nikaras. Afal pisha hoshata in makben. It has to have that additional component to make it stand out, to make it most prominent. It has to have that, so that it would be nicker. You know, it has to be nicker in all of its use. Standing freely, it has to be most nicker. How am I going to define most nicker? That it has the ability to be used in nanuim in a way that would be perceived. Does that mean that the nanuim must be done? No. But it means it's a definition within the cheftza of the mitzvah.
So again, the fourth.
It has to be the type of netil, which is mufasamas, ad kedei kach, that's ro'i to nanuim. Whether you did it or not. It's a din in the object itself. You're right. That may be a little bit far off from the issue of the katan. So let's get back to the katan for 1 second. Okay?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Question?